That is what we're celebrating. And we're kind of breaking up the message today a little bit because I want you to see a couple different things today. First thing I want you to see, if you haven't been with us in Bible study, we've been looking at the full report about people, how Bethel expresses generosity. And so we had 129 people complete the online generosity profile, and that's kind of how it breaks down. A little stronger in hospitality and emotional relational support, but really you could kind of say it's kind of even across all five. That your top generosity expression, we've got all five covered. And it's great. And we talked in Bible study today, actually. This doesn't mean that we can just do one and ignore the others. It just means that sometimes that's how God has wired you. You're a little stronger in one area, but then we learn from each other and how to be generous in all the other areas. I think it's also great that that helps us to remember God put us together. God drew us together. We did not go out and draft a congregation. God has just continued to bring different people for different reasons at different times. And look at this. I don't think if we had done a draft, we could have made it that balanced. But instead, we have this balance. So I'm strong in one thing, you're strong in another. We learn from each other. We're not all just, one kind of gift and ignoring all the other kinds of needs. God has drawn us together, and it's a beautiful thing to see. Another thing I wanted to share with you here as we wrap up the series is this card that we got from Patrice and Jody Ann. Patrice and Jody Ann, there with Donna Stutzman in the middle. Patrice and Jody Ann were some of our Jamaican friends that were with us over the course of last year's Six Flags season. And they've returned to Jamaica. But when they were about to leave, they sent a card to the church. And we posted the card outside the church office, but I want to point out something here. Here's what their note says. Caring is such a part of who you are. And the you means Bethel. Caring is such a part of who Bethel is that I'm sure that you're not even aware of some of the little kindnesses you do and what a difference they make. I know your generous spirit has touched our lives more times than we can count. They didn't know I was going to do a generosity series. But I think it's beautiful because it's true that I think there are ways in which Bethel is more generous than you realize. And there's ways in which all those little things are more supportive and caring than you can even imagine. And so I think that's a great reminder to us. But again, it goes back to God, right? I mean, it's God's generosity working through us. I'm not putting this up to sort of, make it all about you. But I want you to see God is doing some incredible things through you, even when they're little kindnesses. So for this week's generosity interview, Katrina Johns talked to Laura Sambrano. We've been talking to people in the congregation this week a little different. She went out and talked to Laura Sambrano, who's a funeral director here in Gurnee that has worked so much with us, and kind of asking Laura, where has she seen generosity in her work, in working with people in funerals, but also where has she specifically seen generosity when she's working with Bethel during funerals? Here's what Laura had to say.
Okay, you're just telling me about how a woman comes up to you at a funeral and just asks to pay, how much was it?
$3,500 on a funeral bill.
That is amazing. How has that ever happened?
Every once in a while I have people do that. And then the week prior, another lady called me on the phone and asked me if she could give $500 toward the bill. She said, I've known these people for years. I absolutely love them. But I'm not going to donate to GoFundMe. I want to donate to the bill. My brother started crying. He's like, he couldn't believe it. And that's kind of the generosity I see a lot with families in tragedies. Like, people don't know what to do. They don't know what to say. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I I think in my experience, it's better not to say anything. If you really don't know what to say, it's just being there, offering your help. And when people offer, can I bring food? Can I do anything for you? It's like, let them, because you're in no frame of mind. The family's in no frame of mind to have to deal with that. And they don't want to. They don't even know where to begin. Like, they're all thumbs at that point. Really. Like, you think you have it all together, and then someone you love dies, and you're just like, you revert, and you're just not even functioning.
Right.
So people that love you and come up to you and they want to give money, or they want to bring you a dinner or help you with anything, anything at all, like picking out the clothes. I mean, just let them help you, because that's their way of giving, because they don't know what to do. Your ladies and men in that kitchenette, top notch. Even when they did the Cubbies theme, which was really, really nice. I can't say the family because that would be like, you know, I'm not supposed to. But anyway, very nice. Like, they listened to what the man loved, and they put it to, they made the lunch special to that person. Not that the family even asked them to do that. It was just, it was something they wanted to do to make it special for that family. And the family was, they were beside themselves with the generosity of the church group. You know, your church family that makes the meals or buys the meals or cleans up, sets up. I mean, that's hours of work. Yeah. It's not just like you come in and there's your cupcakes and your chicken. I mean, there's a whole, for real, there's a whole system. I'm saying chicken because I love chicken. So at my funeral, I'd like to have chicken.
Okay, but I remember.
There's a whole process, and then it's got to be like, they have to be on point. They have to know when pastor starts. They have to know when, you know, it's time, like, it's showtime, really, because then they have to be ready to go when the people come from the sanctuary into the lunch area. Or, but the time they give, you know, preparing it during, you know, serving the families, and then afterwards cleaning up, I mean, that's a lot of their time is just donated.
Yeah.
But they donate it because they really love the people, and that's like their gift of hospitality.
Absolutely.
You know, a lot of church groups have ladies and men that do that because that's their way of giving, because they don't know what to do for the family. Mm-hmm. But that's better than anything someone could do sometimes, because a lot of times the family wants a meal, and it's not even about the meal. That's what I've learned. It's really not even about the meal, because I've had families that don't even get to eat, you know, like parts, because they're so busy visiting and talking, and kind of like a wedding. You know, the bride and groom never get to eat sometimes because they're just kind of all over. But I think it's more about giving people a chance to tell them about their loved one. They want to hear stories. They want to have memories. So I think that time that they have for a luncheon at church, I think is pretty amazing. And then the people that put it together, yeah, they're priceless people.
I like how Laura draws it together, that it's really not about the meal and it's not just about the food, but it's really about how the meal gives space for that emotional, that relational support to happen, all the stories and things like that. And so it is a big part of who God has made Bethel to be. We're going to celebrate that, singing another hymn, Blessed Be the Tie That Binds, and then we'll come back and talk about this some more and go to Scripture too. But let's sing and celebrate how God brings us together, binds us together as a community in Him. Let's sing. Now, if you know that hymn, there's a chance you might have noticed that I changed a word. Anybody know which word I changed? Sympathizing. In stanza 3, it says, share a sympathizing tear. That's the original, but I changed it to empathizing because I want to emphasize empathy, not sympathy. And I got another video here to show you that help understand the difference, and that'll lead us back up onto the mountain with Jesus, the difference between empathy and sympathy. This is from Dr. Brené Brown, who's a researcher, speaker. She talks a lot about courage, leadership, and empathy.
So what is empathy, and why is it very different than sympathy? Empathy fuels connection. Sympathy drives disconnection. Empathy, it's very interesting. Teresa Wiseman is a nursing scholar. who studied professions, very diverse professions, where empathy is relevant, and came up with four qualities of empathy. Perspective taking, the ability to take the perspective of another person or recognize their perspective as their truth. Staying out of judgment, not easy when you enjoy it as much as most of us do. Recognizing emotion in other people and then communicating that. Empathy is feeling with people. And to me, I always think of empathy as this kind of sacred space when someone's kind of in a deep hole and they shout out from the bottom and they say, I'm stuck, it's dark, I'm overwhelmed. And then we look and we say, hey, you can climb down. I know what it's like down here. And you're not alone. Sympathy is, ooh, it's bad, uh-huh. No. You want a sandwich? Empathy is a choice, and it's a vulnerable choice, because in order to connect with you, I have to connect with something in myself that knows that feeling. Rarely, if ever, does an empathic response begin with at least. And we do it all the time, because you know what? Someone just shared something with us that's incredibly painful, and we're trying to silver lining it. I don't think that's a verb, but I'm using it as one. We're trying to put the silver lining around it. So, I had a miscarriage. Oh, at least you know you can get pregnant. I think my marriage is falling apart. At least you have a marriage. John's getting kicked out of school. At least Sarah is an A student. But one of the things we do sometimes in the face of very difficult conversations is we try to make things better. If I share something with you that's very difficult, I'd rather you say, I don't even know what to say right now, I'm just so glad you told me. Because the truth is, rarely can a response make something better. What makes something better is connection.
That's empathy versus sympathy. And it's tough, because sympathy, kind of along the line of how we've been talking in this series, sympathy is kind of transactional. You know something sad happened for someone, and so you come and you say, I feel so bad for you, and then you back off. That's transactional. I acknowledged it, right? Empathy is transformational. Empathy says, I need to stay in this with this person. And we get to see empathy on the mountain at Transfiguration. So if you go in the bulletins back to Matthew chapter 17, I told you this was the week easiest for me. When we wanted to do the generosity series, I wanted to do my best to line up the five expressions with the lectionary readings, the readings already appointed. And as I was looking at them, Transfiguration was the easiest to say right away, emotional relational support. Because you can see it right in verse 7. So the disciples are up there. They've seen Jesus transfigured, divine power. And Peter doesn't know what he's talking about. He's like, let me make some tents. God the Father envelops them in a cloud. Kind of like, Peter, we don't need tents. Just listen to Jesus. He's my son. And they cower in fear, right? They fall down on their faces. They're down in fear. Verse 7, but Jesus came and touched them, saying, rise and have no fear. That's empathy. He did not shame them, saying, get up off the ground. Why are you afraid? He didn't leave them alone. He didn't just sort of, oh, you're scared. I understand. Or, you know, I see you're scared. And then walk away. No, he saw that they needed care. He reached out and he touched them. That is empathy. And it's not like some comic book, right? A comic book, Jesus is transfigured with divine power. He's glowing. And in a comic book hero or whatever, we go, wah-ha-ha-ha. Boy, you know, the first group didn't even respond to that either. I worked on that all week. So Jesus is there, he's glowing with the divine power, and he goes, wah-ha-ha-ha, right? Wait, no. It was good acting. That's my point. It was good acting. But that's not what Jesus does. Jesus doesn't do that. That's not what he wants them to see his divine power, but not in order for them to continue to cower in fear. So that when they're cowering in fear, maybe they didn't even realize the cloud's gone, everything else is gone, and he just comes and he touches them. Rise. You don't need to be afraid. That is empathy. Sympathy would have been, yeah, it's scary, huh? Want to build a tent? I mean, want a sandwich? I mean, that's sympathy, but that's not what Jesus does. It's even empathy, I think, or emotional, relational support in verse 9. They're going down the mountain, and we often wonder, why does Jesus do this? Why does he say, tell no one the vision until the Son of Man, talking about himself, until I'm raised from the dead? And there's lots of speculation. Why does Jesus keep saying these things? I kind of wonder if it's not emotional, relational support. Peter, James, and John, you've seen this. It was scary. I've helped you to, you know, calm down again. Let's not tell the others. They're not ready for it. Not like he's trying to hide it from them, but he's emotional, relational support going forward. Let's not tell them until they're ready. I don't know. I'm just speculating there. But moving on, that's emotional, relational support here on Transfiguration. And it's transformational generosity from Jesus, right? Transactional generosity would be, oh, you're scared. Okay. But transformational is rise, do not fear. He takes them again by the hand. He is leading them gently and moving them forward. He is staying with them. He is helping them to see his generosity, his love. He shows transformational generosity when he steps into their fear. And so he doesn't just say, cheer up. He doesn't put a silver lining around it. Instead, he steps into that fear, knows how they're related, you know, knows this sense of it. And that's the kind of God we have. Jesus steps into our fear. He steps into our suffering. He steps into our lives. He doesn't stay distant. And he touches us. He tells us, do not be afraid, but he walks with us through all those fears. He jumps down in the hole, just like in the video, right? This is the kind of God. This is the kind of Lord. This is the kind of Savior that you have. And as we head into Lent, we know this. We know he's going to step into our suffering. He's going to be arrested and put on the cross. He's going to rise again. He does all of this out of his generosity. We have hope in him because we have a God of empathy. We have a God of empathy. We don't have a God who just stays up there and is sympathetic. Oh, I feel so bad for you. We have an empathic God. We'll just say God of empathy. We have a God of empathy who comes down into our lives. And so sometimes you're going to meet people, right, who say, I don't really want to talk about God. And they seem scared of God. It could be that they're scared of God because they imagine that God is more like a sympathetic God, a God that stays removed, right? So if they're scared, if they're feeling bad about themselves, they imagine that God is going to just go, yeah, I see you feel bad. Or I see that you're getting all afraid, shame on you, right? But you know that we have a God of empathy. You know we have Jesus who didn't shame the disciples. Jesus shows empathy. Touches them and raises them up and says, don't be afraid, let's keep going. That's the God that you have. And so as you go out, part of our generosity is that we get to share about this generous God that we have. So thankful that we have this kind of God. So thankful that we can keep learning from him and growing in him, in his generosity. Amen.